Good morning, my name's Barbara. I'm a member of our 10 a.m. congregation. Today I'm doing the Bible reading, which is Psalm 102, if you want to follow along in your Bible. I'll be reading from the New International Version. So, Psalm 102, a prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. Because of my loud groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse, for I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath, for you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. For her stones are dear to your servants, and her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high, from heaven he viewed the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners and release the condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the course of my life he broke my strength, he cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, O my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you.
Thanks, Barbara, for reading for us. Let's pray.
Oh, Father, help us and speak to us now as we look at your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was a Thursday afternoon and I was sitting down in my study, putting the finishing touches upon this Bible talk. And I got this message from Facebook. Hey, David, I thought I would message you to pass on the sad news. Someone, I won't say a name, has passed away yesterday. Hope all is well with you and your family. God bless. And this person was a member of the very first church where I served after finishing my theological degree. And during my time there, I also had the privilege of conducting the funeral for this woman's son and then later for her husband. And now she will be buried with them. And I kid you not, on the very same day, about 20 minutes later, I got a message from my brother to tell me that his wife had called him to share the sad news that his wife's mother had passed away. And it's a reminder to all of us that nothing is permanent in life. Everything we love will be gone. Everything changes and it's painful. And that is the cry of Psalm 102, the psalm we'll be looking at right now. How do you pray when there's death around you? How do you pray when you feel like you're dying? How do you pray in a world where nothing is permanent, where everything is changing? Look with me at this psalm, and I want you to notice the heading of this psalm. The heading of this psalm is, which is part of God's inspired word, by the way, a prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. See, this person who's praying this prayer, he's in agony, he's depressed, and he's pouring his heart out. It's a personal prayer. It's from someone who is in affliction, and they've grown weak from the suffering, and maybe you feel like that right now. And what this psalm is going to do is it's going to teach us to pray through the pain. And we're going to see how it is that we can handle the pain. We're going to see what we need to remember about God, and we're going to see where it is that we go to for security. How to handle the pain, what to remember about God, and where do you go to for security. So first, how do you handle the pain? See, what this psalmist does is he prays to God, and he prays five things. Do you see them in verse 1? Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me. When I call, answer me quickly. See what he's saying? Hear me, help me, see me, turn to me, answer me. It's so personal. It's so desperate. It's so emotional. It's why we love the Psalms, because they just have a raw honesty about them. That's what this psalmist has. But see, what comes next is quite painful to read, because this guy's in agony. We don't know what his sickness is, but we can hear the symptoms. Verse 3 again, he says, my bones burn like glowing embers. It could be an ache. It could be a fever. He's lost his appetite. Verse 4. Verse 7, he says, I lie awake. He can't sleep. And verse 5, because of my loud groaning, I'm reduced to skin and bones. He's lost his appetite. There's physical pain, but there's also emotional pain. Verse 4, my heart is blighted and withered like grass. He's struck down. He's totally demoralized. And he's got that worst kind of pain of all. He's got the pain of loneliness, because in verse 6 he says, I'm like a desert owl. Or verse 7, I'm like a bird alone on the roof. He's left to himself. He's left to his own dark thoughts. And he just has to deal with the isolation. Do you see what he's going through? There's fever, there's ill health, there's wasting, there's sleeplessness, there's loss of appetite. It's all the signs of depression. It's so descriptive. Do you realize we need this psalm? If you're someone who's healthy, what this psalm does is it helps you to enter into the world of someone who's sick, and it helps you to understand what it's like for them to be sick. And if you're someone who's sick, you know, this psalm can be a great comfort to you, because when you're sick, it's so lonely. Being sick is the loneliest place to be, because you feel like no one understands what you're going through. And you're the only one who's going through this. That's how it feels. But this psalm teaches you that you're not alone, that others have cried out to God with the same pain that you have. But see, it's not just that this pain is physical. You know, it's actually personal. Verse 8, he says, all day long my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. You know, the taunts of others can put you into counseling for years. This pain is very real. It's personal. But see, the pain hasn't just got to do with other people. Now the pain escalates, because now he complains about God. Look at verse 10. He says, because of your great wrath, for you have taken me up and thrown me aside. Do you see how he feels? He feels like God has picked him up and he's tossed him aside, as though God has finished with him. God isn't on his side. And it's interesting that nowhere in this psalm does he ever confess any personal sin to God. He has no sense of, you know, why he knows this is happening, but he just says, God, you've done this. And he just leaves it at that. And it's personal. And isn't it true that when you're going through pain like this, you feel like you're going through a spiritual crisis? You can't handle the pain because you feel as though God has it in for you. And what this does is it forces him to reflect on his life. I mean, look at how this section starts. See, look at verse 3. He says, my days vanish like smoke. So my life is like a puff of smoke that just blows and then it evaporates. Or verse 11, he says, my days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. My life is like a shadow at dusk that just fades as the night creeps in. My life is like grass that just dies. See, nothing lasts. Everything is changing. And I want to ask you, have you ever been so sick, so full of pain that you felt as though you could die? It's been the experience of people who have had COVID-19. I was reading this description of someone who had the coronavirus, and this person said, I've never felt so sick and this close to heaven in my life. I have the typical ground glass lungs and pneumonia and lots of inflammation, and I'm dealing with constant nausea and stomach pain. But do you notice what he said? He said, I've never felt this close to heaven in my life. See, what sickness does is it reminds us of our mortality. It reminds us that our bodies will expire. And that's what this psalmist feels. And the question is, how do you handle that? How do you handle the pain? See, what this guy does, he laments and he says, you know what, God, everything's not all right. I'm feeling anxious. I'm fearful. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I don't understand what's going on. I've got my doubts. But you know what I'm doing? I'm bringing them before you. That's what we do. That's what this psalm is teaching us. And friends, that's not lack of faith. It's actually an expression of faith. This is the sign of having a strong faith, a faith which isn't afraid to come before God and to bring him our burdens and our pain and our doubts and our fears. Now, what do you do next after you've done that? Where do you go for comfort? You know, when you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling the illness and the isolation, what do you do next? I want you to notice how this psalm ends. Look at how this psalm ends. Verse 28, he says, the children of your servants will live in your presence, which means literally they'll live before your face. They'll have a relationship with God. Then he says their descendants will be established before you. I see where he goes, how this ends up. He ends up with the God who is permanently committed to his people. That God's people will permanently live in his presence. See, his life is fading and he ends with God's people living permanently in the presence of God for all eternity. How does he get to that point? That's the exciting thing I want to show you. Will you keep listening? Because what he does next is he tells us what to remember about this God. This is the turning point of the psalm, verses 12 to 22. Verse 12 is the turning point where what the psalmist does is he looks upward to the place where God is enthroned. Verse 12, but you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. Look at how this section ends in verse 27, where he says, but you remain the same and your years will never end. Do you see what he begins and he ends with? He begins and ends with the God who is enthroned forever in the heavens, the God who is permanent and remains the same. He remembers that this God is unchanging, that this God lasts forever. Ah, this psalmist, his life is like the smoke that evaporates. His life is fading, but not his God. His God is not like that. His God is unchanging. His God is permanent. His God is eternal. And this is the God in whom he is trusting. You know, the theologians have a special word for God being unchanging. The theologians call this that God is immutable, right? Immutable. That word immutable is the same word from where we get the word mutant or mutate. In other words, God doesn't mutate. He doesn't evolve into something else. Nothing about God changes. His character never changes. His nature never changes. His plans never change. His mind never changes. His promises never change. Nothing about God and who he is never changes. God can never change for the better. God never has any bad days. You never catch God in a bad mood. He never changes. He never becomes a better version of himself. God never gets more compassionate. God never becomes more holy. No, he is those things in perfection. We just see more of those things about God. See, why is it that God is called Yahweh, the name that God gave to Moses, the name that's mentioned in this psalm, which means I am? Well, it's because of what it means in relation to us, because we're changing. We're trapped by time and space. You know, our bodies are always changing as we get older. We're trapped in time, but not God. He never changes. He's not trapped in by time. He stands above time. He doesn't change. And in the face of death and change and dying, the psalmist takes comfort in the unchanging nature of God. And I hope you will as well. You see, let's see what he does. See, what he does is he looks at the compassion of God. Verse 13, "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come." See, now we realize the situation of this psalm. Zion, or Jerusalem, the city of God, has fallen. It's been trashed by Babylon. Its temple has been torn down and reduced to stones and dust. And the psalmist knows that his God, he's a covenant-keeping God. This God won't change in his faithfulness to his people. And that must mean that this God is faithful to Zion. Because Zion was the place where God was king. It was the place where God kept his promises. The city of Zion is so precious to God's people that verse 14, "Even her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity." The whole city is now dust and now stones and dust. But the psalmist in verse 16, he looks to the time when the Lord will rebuild Zion and the time when God will appear in his glory. He looks to the day in verse 20 when God will hear the groans of the prisoners and release those who are condemned to death. Those Jews who were condemned to death because they weren't in Zion anymore. They were captives. They were prisoners in Babylon and they couldn't get back. But do you see the basis of this prayer is God's compassion? Verse 13, "You will arise and have compassion." He's so confident in God's compassion that he says, now's the time. It's time. He banks on the fact that this unchanging God will arise and will have compassion. And if God isn't changing, then his compassion doesn't change. You see? His whole world is falling down around him, but God's compassion never changes. And friends, when we're faced with a world that's changing, with death and sickness, we've got to trust in God's compassion as well. And, you know, sometimes people say, you know, David, I'm a Christian, but you don't know the things I've done. You don't know the sins I've committed. You don't know what my own heart is capable of. And, you know, there are times when our hearts grow cold towards God. But can you think about this? Can you think about the fact that God's compassion never changes? That the compassion that he had for you when you first became the Christian is the same compassion he has for you right now, and it's the same compassion he'll have for you in the future. God's compassion is the same for the past you, the present you, and the future you. His heart towards you doesn't change. Our God is unchanging. And that's what the psalmist trusts in. And do you know that if God doesn't change, do you realize that you can predict the future? That's exactly what the psalmist does. The psalmist looks ahead to the future with the eyes of faith because he knows that even though the world looks like this, God is like this. God isn't changing. Verse 15, the nations will fear the name of the Lord. And all the kings of the earth will revere your glory, for the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. Our attention is now drawn to God's glory because our unchanging God is always compassionate. There must be a glorious future ahead. And what he does is he looks ahead to the, with the eyes of faith to the time when the nations will fear his name. Where the nations will flood in to worship the Lord. He looks forward to the time when those people outside of Israel will enter into a relationship with God. Such is the compassion of God. Such is his glory that everyone will worship him. He's so certain that God will act and answer, that God's people will be restored and God's name will be honored, that he even writes this psalm for future generations that will come and give praise. Verse 18, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. This promise causes him to look ahead to the future with the eyes of faith to those people who don't even exist yet. See, he doesn't just look geographically to the nations to praise God. He looks through time to people who don't yet exist, that they will praise the Lord. What an amazing faith he has, don't you think? In the unchanging God. That this God, he is unchanging, and his compassion doesn't change and his glory doesn't change. And because those things don't change, that gives him the eyes of faith to see the future, to see what that's like. But see, how will this future come about? How will God bring about this great future that this psalmist is longing for? Look at verse 17. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Do you remember this psalm started with this psalmist asking in verse 1, hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Don't hide your face from me. And now he has confidence. Having reflected on the unchanging nature of God, he realizes this God will hear my prayer. This God doesn't change. He doesn't wake up in a bad mood. He's unchanging in his desire to answer my prayers. What a comfort that he has, that God will answer his prayers. And you've got to ask, did God answer his prayers? Because Zion was never got back to its former glory. Zion wasn't quite rebuilt in the same glory that it had. He wanted Zion to return to its glory, but it never happened. Did God answer his prayer? Well, yes, but not in the way that you think. See, God's answer to his prayer was, just wait and I'll answer better than you realize. If only this psalmist could see the answer to his prayer. Do you realize where the fulfillment of these prophetic words? Our church in Wente Anglican. Do you realize that in our church, even though we're gathered in different places, we have nations that come together to fear the Lord in Wente Anglican. And we're gathered in, according to Hebrews 12, we're gathered around the heavenly Zion. If only the psalmist could have seen the nations that are gathering today around the world to revere the name of God. Do you realize there's no such thing as unanswered prayer? God's answer to prayer is always wait, and I'll answer better than you realize. And of course, he answers better than we realize because he knows better than us. How do you pray when you're caught up in the change and the decay of this world? What this psalmist does is he prays for himself in his agony, but he lifts his vision upon the unchanging nature of God and he prays. That's what he does. And so where does he get his security? Where do you get your security? Do you want proof that you can be secure in a world that's changing? That this God will never leave you? Do you think you can know that he loves you? Or is it just all words on a page? Look at how this psalm ends. Let me just read from verse 23 onwards. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing you will change them. They will be discarded, but you remain the same. Your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. It's an amazing way to end the psalm. He says, everything is going to wear out. The stars are going to wear out. The earth is going to wear out. The whole universe is going to wear out. God, you're going to toss them aside like an old worn out t-shirt. Heavens and earth will pass away. That's how this psalm ends. But again, verse 28, the children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. See, there's one thing that's permanent. It's your people. Your people will live in your presence. How do you know that God will love you when the stars fall out of the universe? When the lights go out on the final star, when the final cell on this planet dies, when the universe itself is thrown out like an old t-shirt, how do you know that you will still live in his presence? Well, we're not really given the answer in this psalm, but we are later on in the Bible, because do you realize that the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, takes the final verses of this psalm and he says that it's all about Jesus, that this psalm is speaking about Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the one who laid, verse 25, the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of his hands. Jesus Christ is the unchanging creator. His years never end. He made the whole universe. The speaker of this psalm is the Messiah. And you can go back and read this psalm and you can hear the voice of Jesus. Because Jesus is who this psalm is about. Jesus is the man in agony. Jesus is the man who experienced pain. He's the man who experienced loneliness and the taunting of his enemies. He's the man who faced the wrath of God and he felt as though he was tossed aside by God. See, Jesus Christ is God who became man. The immutable became mutable. The Creator became a creature and he died. Why? Well, he died so that anyone who trusts in him will share in his life. And their years will never end. So that in the end, millions upon millions of people who are not yet born will sing his praises and share eternal life with him. The permanent God shares his eternal life with anyone who trusts him. And he will love you even when this world has ended. When the last star has gone out, Jesus Christ will love you. You know, too often when I'm in pain, the temptation is to withdraw from God, to stop saying my prayers and just to, you know, just to find myself in self-pity. But that's not the answer, isn't it? Is it? See, the answer is to trust in the unchanging God who may not give you what you want, but he'll give you what is best because Jesus Christ has been given for you and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so trust in him, won't you? Because in trusting in Jesus, the one who is permanent, you will find an anchor for your soul. Anchor yourself to him. Hitch yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that is changing and nothing is permanent. Anchor yourself to the one who doesn't change and you'll find rest for your soul. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we need this psalm. We need to be reminded, and you've reminded us lately with COVID-19, you've reminded us that nothing's permanent. This world is changing. And yet, Lord, you don't change. And your compassion doesn't change. And we pray that that would be our cry, that we would trust in your unchanging compassion that you've shown to us by giving us your eternal Son. Oh, Lord, help us to find our refuge in you and anchor ourselves to him.